The two main islands that make up New Zealand are inhabited by 3.5 million people. About 12% of the population is Maori, the indigenous culture of that land. For several decades in the mid-1800s, Maoris fought European settlers to keep control of their islands. There's a new historical novel about that time by Maurice Shadbolt, one of New Zealand's foremost writers. Critic John Leonard has a review of Monday's Warriors.
Suspicious as I am of historical novels, I am equally ignorant of New Zealand. So an historical novel about the 19th century wars of British imperialism against Maori tribes, who would really rather stay put on their ancestral lands, with their flax baskets and calabash gourds, their greenstone clubs and their lizard carvings, their tame pigs and their wild honey and their God-given hunting and fishing rights, well, I was a tough customer. But Maurice Shadbolt, however angry he may be at what resembles a dress rehearsal for genocides to come, is also an exceedingly witty writer. In Kimball Bent, an actual figure in New Zealand history, an American Yankee who couldn't get out of the British Army except by deserting, he has created the perfect disaffected character. Ironic, sarcastic, looking out for number one, inadvertently heroic, and equally likable to the Maoris and the reader, part Jack Crabb in Thomas Berger's Little Big Man, and part Fabrizio in Stendhal's The Charterhouse of Parma. It was Kimball Bent's good fortune, at about the time of our own Civil War, to meet Te Toko, a one-eyed Maori chief and former Methodist, in a bowler hat and waistcoat, with a silver-capped cane and parrot feathers. Te Toko, also an actual figure in New Zealand history, decided he'd had enough of treaties torn up, villages burned down, and sheep grazing on his sacred volcano. What happened next was a brilliant guerrilla campaign of the sort the West would later see in Africa, Asia, and Latin America. Thus, says Shadbolt, was a penny dreadful turned into a shilling shocker. When imperial regiments raised their churches, these former Methodists, we are told, salvaged such of the scriptures as served sudden death, pledged allegiance to angry angels sailing the four winds, roused the tribes to an occult chant, souvenired the heads of soldiers they slew, smoked them to traditional recipes, and marched such prizes into native regions seen in need of a new faith. Kimball Bent marches with them. He makes their bullets and cannonballs, and he's not bad with a bayonet. In his company, we will meet not only a raffish crew of warriors and their randy women, but lots of creepers, bats, moss, rainbows, and latrines. We will also meet Tara Pikau, the demon who collects female parts, in whose river eels are red. And we will sit down over an open fire to eat, besides potted pigeons, the hearts of our enemies. There were, says Shadbolt, correct cuts and incorrect cuts. Human meat was best left to make its own sauce, with a light seasoning of convolvulus. Best of all, we will visit the mind of Te Toko, who tells the British, "You were made white men, and the land of England was given to you for your tribe. I was made Maori, and New Zealand was the land given mine. Why have you not taken thought? You forget that there was a great gulf fixed between us, the ocean. You, ignoring that, leaped from your place to mine. I did not leap from my place to yours." He also wonders what his warriors should do with the British Empire. "Do," asks Bent. "When we govern it," explains Te Toko, "perhaps we should sell." If, after reading this novel, you don't root for the doomed Maoris, you deserve the 20th century.
John Leonard is media critic for CBS Sunday Morning.